Okay, again, thanks so much for that greeting. And now let me bring your attention to the reading for today. And it's in Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. Joshua chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, 'What do these stones mean?' then you shall let your children know, 'Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" And may the Lord again add his blessing to the reading of that word. Your title for the day, if you keep up with these things, and I know I wasn't sure what I wanted to do by the time I had to get this information to Joyce, but the title today is called Memorial Life. Memorial Life. And your thought for today is God places his signposts throughout our lives. God places his signposts throughout our lives. My wife and I and my family now like to ride the golf cart back up to the pond, McCullough Pond, a lot. It's very peaceful for us. We have a lot of fun doing it. Watch the wildlife, sit by the side of the pond and watch the fish jump and various things. And so my wife and I were riding one afternoon there, and as we're coming up to cross the railroad track, if you've gone that road before, you know that it comes back across the railroad track before you get to the pond. Well, as you're ascending up the embankment to go across the railroad track, there was two piles of stone, very similar to this, railroad track stones that had been piled up there. It was obvious someone had done it, because there was two distinct piles of stone very similar to this, right as you're going up that embankment. And so the first thing that came to our mind was, who did that? And why did they do it? We thought maybe a child had done it. We still don't know the answer to that. So if you know the answer, I'm all ears. But the point is that when we see things like this, it's natural for the human mind to begin to ask questions. Why was that placed there? Who put it there? And what did they have in their heart? And that was the intention of Joshua here, because he wanted the people to always remember what God had done for them. And this was a very special way that he could mark the area where this special event had happened, but also to continue to pose the question, why were these stones piled here? He says, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, 'What do these stones mean?' then you shall have that opportunity then to tell the children." So it was a memorial that Joshua made there for the people. And Joshua built that memorial, as I said, so that the people could remember what God had done. Now, a memorial is a testament to a life or an event. We see them everywhere, statues here and there, plaques here and there for something that happened, or we want to remember a certain individual and their contributions to society, or for an earthquake or a major event or something of that stature that may have happened here, or some major event may have happened in this place. We see those placed around where battles of this war or that war were fought on this section of land here or very near to this sign. And so all of these are memorials for things that have happened. And it was God's desire for his people to remember him. And so as Joshua built his memorial there on the banks of the Jordan, it was for the purpose of one day parents having an opportunity to answer that question. You know, what mean these stones? What's the purpose of these stones? Why were they piled up that way? God had intended for his memory to continue to be reinforced in the family unit. In Deuteronomy 6, he talks about placing his name all over the house, putting on the doorpost, putting over the lintel, When your children come home, they will be able to see that. And so there was a purpose of God for parents to instill within their children all the good things about Him and to keep His name before them. And we try to do that within the church, within our special events. We have our special events, of course, at Easter, at Christmas, where we have that opportunity to teach our children about those stories and what that means to us and our faith. We also have a sort of memorial in what we do when we baptize and when we serve communion, because it is an event that takes place in our church that reminds us of God's goodness. It reminds us of the cleansing power of Jesus Christ for the sins within our lives. Whenever we see someone baptized, we remember our own salvation. Whenever we partake of communion, we remember the body and blood of Christ that was shed for us. And so memorials are placed in the church in these sacraments. Israel had their own celebrations, Passover. If you notice something here for you students of the Bible, the 10th day of the first month was the beginning of Passover. That was when the Passover lamb was to be killed, and in preparation for the Passover that was to follow, I think it was maybe 3 or 4 days later. And so there was a connection here with the crossing over with the Jordan on dry ground with the event that happened in Egypt when the people were coming out and the Red Sea was parted and the people walked across on dry ground. And also about how God wanted to remember the people's coming out of Egypt with that Passover event. And if you see that wording here as the passing over of the Jordan, as they passed over that Jordan today, they passed through the sea and God and the death angel passed over them in Egypt. So there was a great connection here that Joshua wanted to establish in the minds of his people to connect them with the goodness of God. And he also wanted to place within that home unit the responsibility to continue to refresh the memory of God within the minds of their children. It's the parents' duty to refresh the children's memories about the goodness of God. We live in a society where we drop our children off, we get them educated, you know, we have people that attend to their care when we can't, while we're working. I went through all of that. That's a good thing. We're glad that we can have those kinds of facilities and those kinds of services for us to educate and care for our children. And it is up to the parents' responsibility to provide a guidance that we place them in the best schools that we can, and we also place them in the best care that we can. And so we have that responsibility, but we place our children into other people's care for a good part of the year in those types of facilities. But I don't want us as family units to ever forget that the primary responsibility of passing God along to our children belongs in the hands and hearts of the parents. It belongs in the hands and the hearts and the lives of the parents that are lived as testimonies before their children. I know I've failed in that. I know that others have failed in that from time to time. But it is our primary responsibility to pass along as a refresher to our children God's goodness and to instruct them in the things of the Lord. What happens is that sometimes we get scared, we don't think we know enough, and so we put them in Sunday school, we bring them to church, and that's a good thing. But don't ever forget that God's purpose of that family unit is for those parents to pass along the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to their children. And that mission never ceases. It doesn't matter if your children have grown out of the house like ours have. It doesn't matter if they're still living there with you. It doesn't matter if they are yet to be born within your family unit, depending upon where you are on your timeline. It is our responsibility as parents to continue to instill within our children the good news of Jesus Christ and the goodness and grace of God. And that is God's purpose here with setting up this memorial stones. we can only look at our own lives to see how quickly the memory of events fade if we don't keep reinforcing the events that we want to have remembered. You can look at old photographs. There was at one time I could go through some of our family photos, and my family didn't grow up writing on the back of the picture. Some of them they were, you know, you'd write names. This is Maybelle and Archie, or this is so and so and so and so. And so we have a lot of pictures in family albums with just people there that I no longer remember who they are. And that's just within my lifetime. And so we know how unreliable our memories can be. At one point in our life, we thought we would never forget these folks. We would never forget what was happening in that picture right there. And then you suddenly reach a point in your life where all of a sudden you can't remember what was going on there. Or maybe you've got a faint memory, but you don't actually remember who those people are. I shared with you for our children's service one time about the picture I have in my home of a nice picture of a lady, very elegant looking lady, very old picture, and I have no idea who she is. She hung in my parents' house for a while. I think she may be a grandmother of my mother, maybe-ish, but I have no idea who she is. And so her memory to me is lost, and the importance of having her picture in my home has been lost to me. And if we're not careful, that same kind of thing can happen in our children if we fail to refresh them on the importance of God within their lives. And we do that by how we live our lives in front of them. It's not like you have to have a Sunday school lesson every afternoon. If you can, that's great. But it's not like you have to do that. It's living your life in a way so that God is put before them. Do you say grace before meals? Do you children see you as parents speaking freely of God, and not just when you hit your thumb with a hammer? But do you speak God's name reverently within your home? Do you speak God's name in a way that your children will hear of Him and know who He is? Do they see you living for Him each day in how you treat others, in how you treat them, in how you treat each other as husband and wife? And so there are special places that your children can see the life of God being portrayed there to keep Him in front of them. And we do that so that we will remember His faithfulness to us. That's what Joshua wanted the people to always remember, how faithful God had been, because it wasn't just crossing over the Jordan here. It was 40 years God had been faithful to bring manna, to bring water when they needed it, but manna had fallen every morning. In fact, right after this Passover that you can read about in Joshua 5 and here, the manna ceased. God was very faithful to provide that sustenance for the people every day. They depended upon that, and He provided it for them. And when they went to the promised land, when they came to that promised land, and they started eating of the produce of that land, then that manna ceased. And so the faithfulness of God was on display throughout this event, from the time they left Egypt to the time that they entered the promised land. And Joshua did not want the people to forget, and God did not want the people to forget the faithfulness that He had shown to them. Faith is built on what God has done. I've shared that with you. It's not on what He will do, and so it is served by memory. Our faith is served by memory. We remember the things that God has done, and so when we encounter those things again, we know that God has been faithful. We can go forth in that faith, and our faith then becomes stronger because we remember that God's faithfulness to us in the past. And so we praise Him as we encounter Him because He knows that He has led us through situations before, and we know that He will be with us in this situation. But it's odd, isn't it, how we remember those times where we were hurt a lot more clearly than those times when we were helped. If something happened in your past that hurt you, it seems like you have that constantly ingrained and blazoned on your heart for all eternity, doesn't it? I mean, you can remember in almost the most minute details about the things that happened during that time. You can almost smell the smells that were in the air when this thing happened that hurt you so dearly. It hurt so deeply, I should say. And there are losses like that that you'll always have with you. And that's who we are as human beings. But God wants us also to remember His kindness, His faithfulness, and goodness that He showers upon us. I think what happens sometimes is God is so good to us that we get complacent in that and we begin to expect it, maybe, if that's the right word. We get so used to having God's goodness showered upon us that we fail to realize that it is God that is giving it to us. We become expectant of it and fail to give Him the thanksgiving that we have for that. A common example of that would be a job. We work hard in our jobs. We educate ourselves. We try to learn this job and we try to do the best that we can in this job to provide for our families. And I think a lot of us sometimes forget that without God's goodness there, that would not be a possibility. So we fail to give God the glory and the credit for things such as jobs because we want to look at ourselves and say, look what I've done, versus look what God has enabled me to do. And so we see our jobs, we see other blessings that God provides for us, and we become so oblivious to them because they're so abundant. Maybe that's why the bad times stick in our minds so. Because we have, fewer bad times, as a rule, than the good times and the grace that God spreads upon us. And so we want to realize that as we look back and see what God has done for us, and as we allow that to build our faith for the future, we realize that faith depends upon that realization that both our past and our futures are cast in the now. Let me repeat that. Both our past and our futures are cast in the now. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. You concentrate on the day. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof, if you remember that version of His saying. He wants us to focus on the day. Why is that? Because what happens today and your actions today, tomorrow will be your past. But what happens today and your actions today will also set in motion the things that will be in your future. So today is the day when we focus on who we are as individuals, who we are before God, how we love others, how we remember the goodness of God, how we praise Him for all that He's done for us, how we remember His faithfulness to us, because what we do this day when we wake up in the morning will be in our past and it will be a memory, but it will also set the cast for what we encounter tomorrow. Because if we are faithful today, when we wake up in the morning, that faithfulness can spill over. If we're faithful today, we can remember how we encountered the struggles of life today when tomorrow comes, and then it becomes a memory. And so both our past and our futures are cast in today. And so today is the day of faithfulness. Today is the day of thanksgiving. Today is the day of remembering the goodness of God and focusing on His grace and allowing that goodness to minister to our hearts in a way that we can grow in our faith and our faith can continue to buoy us on in our spiritual growth. And why do we do this? It's so that God can be glorified. Joshua set up a pile of stones for the glory of God, so that the people could remember what God had done for them, not only that day, but in the 40 years or so leading up to that time when they crossed over the Jordan. I call this sermon today Memorial Life because our lives are also a testament to the goodness and grace of God. Because Scripture calls us a new creation in Christ. The hands of the master sculptor continues to fashion us each day by chipping away the refuse and focusing on making us a vessel for His service. And as He chips away, that stuff of life that we encounter each day begins to form us into that vessel of service. And God's hands begin to let us know that He's there, that He's working in this with us, that He's leading us through it. And as that poem reminds us, sometimes He has to carry us through it because we're just not capable of getting through certain life circumstances without Him. And so in all of these things, the hands of the master sculptor is chipping away at that stuff, forming us and making us into that new creation, that vessel of service as Scripture calls us. How are we a testimony of God's faithfulness? When we exhibit peace in the storm is a testimony to God's power, because the average reaction to a storm is fear. The average reaction to a storm is maybe anger for what you have lost, what that storm has taken away from you. But what we are led to be as Christians is to exhibit peace in the storm, something that people will take notice of. It's like coming upon this collection of rocks in the road and wondering who put it there, because they didn't form from themselves. And so how can a person exhibit such peace in what they're going through? The testimonies of faith that you and I form as we go through struggles and trials speak more into the lives of the unsaved than any sermon that's ever been preached. That's the gospel according to Marty. Because when people see you live out the truth in your life, it shows them the power of God. And it makes them ask questions. It's just like that pile of stones. Who put it there? What's the purpose of it? Strength in uncertainty. Thanksgiving in hard times. All of these things worked out in the lives of the Christian proclaim to the world the power of God. When you live out that Christian life in front of your children's eyes, you are proclaiming the power of God. When you live out the Christian life faithfully to your co-workers, to your spouse, to your friends, to the lady in the grocery store, you're proclaiming the power of God. And so our lives then become a memorial life. It is a memorial to the power of God to change us into vessels for His service that He uses to preach His gospel message and proclaim His gospel message to the world. But it comes down to how we live out that gospel life. What type of monument are we? What type of monument have we become in our lives? Our strength as Christians and as Christ's church is dependent upon how we remember that gospel message and how we live out that gospel message in our lives. Always remember that that gospel message is not just to save us, but that gospel message is what guides our lives and guards our hearts and directs our thoughts and our emotions so that we proclaim to the world not just the salvation of Christ, but the transforming power of the Spirit of God that comes into the hearts and minds of all who call Him Savior and Lord. And so when we surrender to that power then has that opportunity to come in and continue to transform us into the memorial to God's power that the lives of those in the church are to the world. We are a memorial to the power of God by how we live out and proclaim His word within our lives. So remember that on this Memorial Day weekend. Give thanks for the power of God who has been at work in all of the world to give to us a country where we enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy this day. A lot of people take these freedoms for granted. A lot of people have gone off on tracks now where they don't appreciate what they have here. And so appreciate what God has done for you and what God has given us in this country we call ours. And for the men and women who protect us and serve us, not only in our armed forces, but also in our local sheriff's department, police department, ambulance drivers, doctors and nurses, all of those that God has put into our lives to protect us, to serve us, to provide for us in ways that we cannot provide for ourselves. Give thanks to God for all that He's done for you, but especially saving us and beginning to transform us into the men and women that He would have us to be, and allow our lives to go forth and be the memorial life to the world that God would have us to be. And let me pray for you. Father, we thank You that You have given to us the great blessings of this country, for the men and women who have served us now, and we remember their deaths and their families this Memorial weekend. Father, we proclaim Your goodness and grace to us by placing it in the hearts of those who live lives of service, who watch over and protect us. But Father, may we also be men and women of service who serve others by loving them the way that You have shown us to love them. And may we always remember that we love others better by first loving You more. Let that be our thought this day as we enjoy this time that You have given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.